Following along this morning, we'll be in Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. The purpose of God often develops slowly because of his grand design, and in every really hurry. There was a great New England preacher, Philip Brooks, who was noted for his poise and quiet manner. At times, however, even he suffered from moments of frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" his friend asked. He said, "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." You know, we've probably felt that way in our lives many times. Patience is a virtue, possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. You know, we make fun of patience and who has patience at times, and it's kind of hard sometimes to wait on the Lord, especially when we need something in our lives right away. Or this person who prayed, "Dear God, please grant me patience, and I need it right now." You know, the book of Ecclesiastes points out that there's a time or season for everything. This is an oft-quoted passage. They even had a song using it in the 60s. You know, to everything there is a season. And it was made popular back then. I don't know, you know, how many people today might really know it, but anyway, it was taken from that. This morning, we'll look at the scripture and examine the importance of what it's saying for our lives today. Today, we'll look at the seasons of our lives, and we'll look at three things specifically to define what a season is and how is it significant in our lives, to examine what happens when we miss a season in our lives, and to examine what happens when we get ahead of the seasons in our lives. Now, our scripture is Ecclesiastes 1 through 4. It refers to times, which are seasons. Back then, it reads, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up or harvest that which is planted." You know, we look at the seasons of our lives, and of course we're coming into a season that everyone really likes. We're coming into spring. And of course the flowers bloom, and we kind of come out of that winter dull brown grayness that's out there, and everything looks alive. It's not quite as hot as it's going to get, but it's not as cold as it's been. And we really like that time. It's better than times. The winter is kind of dour and dark. Vivaldi has a classical album called The Four Seasons. And he really captures the kind of the theme in music of those seasons. You know, somber music for autumn and winter, and the bright, glowing, shimmery tunes for spring and summer. But we need to learn to be patient and wait on God for these things. You know, a woman driver was having difficulties getting her automobile started after it had stalled in traffic. A man behind her insisted in expressing his impatience by blowing his horn at her every few seconds. Finally, the lady, worn out by thoughtlessness, stepped out of her automobile, walked back to the guy who was honking to his car and said, "I'm having some difficulty getting my car started," she said. If you'll go and see if you can start it, I'll honk your horn for you." A lot of folks in the church and outside in the world can do more honking than they can do doing or helping. There are more talkers than workers and more criticism than labor sometimes. The ones who do the most honking generally do the less working in life. They may never have preached a sermon, taught a class, led a song, or served in any capacity in the church. Of course, anyone who drives much is going to get honked at now and then. We know that. Don't lose your temper. And anyone who tries to accomplish something for the Lord is going to find that there are a lot of horn honkers out there when they try to do something. You know, as we start to look at patience, we have to remember that it's not only our own impatience that we're fighting with us, but the impatience of others that we may be dealing with also. Let's look at seasons in nature to get a general idea of how a season works. In nature, things come forth, grow, and fulfill their purpose and die in life. Notice that winter and spring are times of preparation. In the winter, the ground gets very cold and freezes. It kills germs and bacteria that could be harmful to crops. Plants that have died during the previous season decay and replenish nourishment to the soil. Then, at the late winter and early spring comes, the soil is plowed and made ready for seeds, and they're planted, nurtured, and they grow. And then in summer and fall, crops mature in the warmth of the ground, and they're harvested. The farmer sells the crops and uses that money to support his family and to start that next crop for the next season, and they enjoy the fruits of their labor. So what is the season? Well, for our purpose, the season is a time in our life, and it's a time frame that has been allotted for something to happen. You know, many events, you know, we kind of put timelines to. We can have an engagement, and it's going to last so long, and then someone's going to get married. Hopefully nothing happens in the meantime. We have, you know, 9 months from conception to a child being born. We have many times. We have years. We mark the years. We celebrate New Year's. We remember our birthdays. We remember this and that. And we mark down these seasons. Let's point out, though, that God has so arranged it that things here on earth and in our lives operate within those seasons. This morning, I mentioned that we didn't have very many on the prayer list, so the prayer list had shrunk very short. At times, it's grown to be very large. In these times, in these seasons, things ebb and flow and come and go. We can depend on this because he tells us so in Genesis 8:22. The scripture reads, "While the earth remaineth, seedeth and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." It also gives us kind of the basic description of the seasons. Some hot, some cold, some in between. We can gather that seasons are basically divided into two types. Seasons of seed time and seasons of harvest. And that's the way they really looked at it. They were tied to the ground. They had to plant a crop, they had to harvest a crop, and that grain sufficed for them for the next year. So that they're almost concerned with just two things. It's time to get it out of the ground, and then the season when it's time to get it into the ground. You know, but if we look back at our example of the farmer, his goal is to produce a large crop of something, sell it, and receive money for doing it. We see that he cannot, however, get to the money until he properly goes through the season required to produce the harvest. Now, he can't get paid on a maiden. The guy who's going to take his grain and process it from there, he's not going to get any money until he brings that grain in. And he's going to check the moisture content, he's going to weigh that truck, and he's going to give him so much for it. He's not going to give it to him in the middle of summer when it's just coming up. You know, bad things can happen to it, and bugs can get to it, the hail can come and knock it down, and all kind of bad things. You have to go through things to reap the reward at the end, or to accomplish something, or to end it. So, just like the farmer, we have to go through our seasons. So it is in our lives. When we desire to be successful, to do something in life, we have to observe the seasons that we go through and perform properly or do the right thing so we can pass through them. We have to get through these things. Here's an example from life. A young high school graduate desired to live a successful life. As he stands looking towards the future, he's very much aware of the options that face him. He could hang out with friends, get a job, you know, and have a good time like a lot of people do, or further his education so he can create the necessary financial foundation on which he can build a successful life. He realizes that he's now in a season of preparation. He's getting ready to plant, and he's got to prepare for it. You know, you have to plow things right. You have to fertilize right. You have to fertilize at the right time. You have to plant at the right time. You know, I know the old people always said, don't plant your garden until after Easter or something like that. And if you think it's April, you think we're out of the woods here as far as freezing goes, and well, a few days, it's supposed to be 29. So even in April, we can, you know, sneak in a freeze here and there that could hurt a crop. We have to do things in the right time and prepare in the right way. We have to do it with God in mind. The young man wants to continue his education because of his age and intention. Banks and other people will loan him money. in order for him to do that. But if he goes and does like a lot of people, goes out and enjoys his life, gets a job right away so he can have a little coin in his pocket and go out and party like a lot of kids do and never get anywhere in life, and for some people, he's certainly prepared for that if he doesn't plan and just goes to work. So, preparation is critically important. Before we do anything in life, you know, you say, well, how do I prepare for life? How do I prepare for those bad times in life? How do I prepare for the good times in life? You never hear anybody talk about that. They're always going to God when times get rough. We prepare by studying God's Word, by getting steeped in God's Word, by knowing God's Word and living God's Word each and every day, and pushing that old world away from you to allow God to work in your life. And then you're preparing for both the good times and the storms of life. Because in the good times, people forget God. They forget all the things He's done for them. They don't pray anymore. They don't rely on Him anymore. You know, it's during these times when jobs are kind of scarce that people start to maybe pray a little more. But we need to pray all the time. We need to study all the time. We need to be in church during the good times and the bad times of our life. We can celebrate God giving us the good times just as much as we can come and pray for the bad times to go away. So what if we miss a season? Basically, like the sailor says, you don't have the wind at your back. You don't have that strength in you. You know, it's like the young man, if he misses out on preparing for his future, and he gets a job right out of school, and it's a job that he can work at the rest of his life, but he'll never make a whole lot of money. He'll never make more money than what he thought was a lot as a kid. You know, kids get an allowance, they get a little bit of money here and there, and first thing you know, you give them minimum wage, and they look at their check, and you know, they're rich. They think they have a lot of money. Until you look at what it takes to really run a household. You know, because later on they're going to want to get married. Later on they're going to want to have a house. Later on they're going to want to have kids. And, you know, the money that it takes to do that is just, you know, grows by leaps and bounds every time we turn around. So, proper planning is what we need in life. If we take care of ourselves and grow, then we'll be ready for that. But what happens if we run ahead of God? What if we get ahead of God? You know, in Genesis 15 through 18, we see the story of Abraham and Sarah and how God told them when they were advanced in age. I mean, Sarah was 90 and Abraham was almost 100. You know, we know folks who are like that. You know, they're going around with walkers and, you know, they're struggling to get around. And God comes and tells them, you're going to have a great nation. You're going to have a child. And of course, Sarah laughed at that, and Abraham didn't think anything of it. They found a way to make it happen without relying on God. But then, God really did make it happen. So, we need to be able to wait on God and listen to God and follow what God wants us to in order to live life. You know, that the seasons are times in our lives. When Ecclesiastes talks that way, he's talking about those seasons in our lives when things happen to us, both good and bad. You know, we probably all have our favorite seasons. Some people like winter because it's all nice and white and they can ski, and that's their favorite time of the year. Some people like summer because you can do all the water sports and fishing, and you know, other people don't like summer because it's too hot for them. You know, people don't like spring because, you know, the allergies are worse at that time. And a lot of things are blooming. Some people like autumn because of the leaves turning. There's so many different things that people like in life. But if we look at our seasons as good times, as bad times, then we learn from that we can wait on God. We also learn that in order to take advantage of the benefits that a season has for us, we need to ask God to do the right things in whatever season we're experiencing. When we're in the good times of life, when the wallet's fat, the money's coming in, and things are great, we need to be able to ask God and pray to God that, God, please help me not to lose perspective. that each and every dollar that comes into this house, our good health that we may have, everything that we have is because of you. Give God the glory in everything. So that even in the good times, when you look at that big bank account or 401k or whatever you have in life, that you can look and say, that's God's. That's what He gives me. And only by the grace of God do I have that. And then in the bad times, not to despair. God has helped us out each and every step of the way. And, you know, I read the Old Testament and see all the times they fell, how judges, God rescued them, and then they went back into idolatry, and then God rescued them when they wanted to repent. And when I look at those things, I kind of see ourselves in there. We see that God has got us through this situation. And here comes the next situation. And what happens? Oh, I sure hope God gets me out of this tight spot here. I sure hope God helps me out. And we kind of waver and we kind of falter. We kind of think, well, I know God got me out of the previous bad time. But then we kind of wonder, is He going to get us through this time? And that's our human frailty. We need to grow our faith so that that doesn't lead us to despair. That doesn't lead us to turn away from God and walk away from God. God will be there and get us all the way. He said He'd take us to heaven, and that's what He's going to do. He's going to get us through this life, and He's going to get us to our heavenly reward when that time comes. There's an old traditional Hebrew story. It talks about Abraham was sitting outside of his tent one evening when he saw an old man, weary from age and his journey, coming towards him. Abraham rushed out and he greeted the old man and invited him into his tent. There he washed the old man's feet, as was the custom, and gave him food and drink. The old man immediately began eating without saying a prayer or a blessing. So Abraham asked him, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship far only and reverence to no other God." When he heard this, Abraham became incensed, grabbed the old man by the shoulders, and threw him out of his tent into the cold night. When the old man departed, God called to his friend Abraham and asked where the stranger was. Abraham replied, "I forced him out because he did not worship you." God answered, "I have suffered him for 80 years, although he dishonors me. Could you not endure him one night?" You know, this kind of traditional story is kind of letting us know that God is patient. God endures. And that we need to endure the hardships of life. We never know when someone is watching that trial or tribulation that we're going through. We never know that someone's not watching when we're in the good times. What do we do with those good times? What do we do with those bad times? We can be leading someone to Christ just by our example. We could be strengthening somebody's faith just by our examples. When we see someone go against all the problems they have in life and look at you and tell you that I have faith in God, that I trust God, that nothing is going to happen to me, and I don't worry about today and I don't worry about tomorrow because God is going to take care of me. Doesn't that make you feel good? Doesn't that make you feel like I can do that too? Doesn't that embolden you? You may be helping someone along the way. Not to mention, still proving, like old Job did, that we don't worship God for the riches. We don't worship God for just the good. We worship Him because He is God. Patience is not sitting on the couch waiting for something to happen either. Patience is enduring the trials of life, patiently waiting for God to show the way in our lives, and waiting for His plan to unfold before us. Patience is learning God's Word through long study and meditation. It doesn't just fall in our heads. It takes study and lots of study to understand and understand the depth of God's wisdom. Patience is trusting God to work things out. Patience is letting the seasons pass from one to the other, knowing that the bad times don't last forever. Good times are to be cherished and remembered. Patience wins the race of life, and it's rewarded to those who win it with eternity, where patience is a thing of the past and we live with bliss, not waiting, not and mourning for anything. Think about heaven. You know, we live in time crunches. We live in a time when I've got to be here at this time and we've got to get there. And you can see them on the road. They would rather risk life and limb, rather risk a ticket. You know, and they fly by you driving crazily, trying to get somewhere on time when it could do so much harm and hurt so much. They have no patience. When we live our lives like that, running to and fro, we can only get hurt. It can only hurt us. When we have the patience to wait on God, let those seasons go through their time. I learned a long time ago when I was young and first starting to work in life. It just seemed that some days were going to be bad from the get-go. They started out bad, and they kind of stayed bad all through it. And, you know, when you're young, you get real frustrated with that. But soon I learned that to recognize a bad day and just let it happen. Just go through it the best you can, and you learn that there are going to be bad days. There are going to be bad seasons. There are going to be times when you want whatever's happening to you to end. And, you know, I can't blame anybody for wanting the bad times to pass. But there are also opportunities for us to grow. To grow in patience, to grow in spirit, to grow in faith. When we can trust God and grow our faith and grow our patience and let these seasons pass one to the other. You know, people get into good times and then all of a sudden they can't understand why the bad times have hit them. You know, they just don't understand that we've been through recession after recession. And it's always the same. There's a run of good luck, and then there's a run of bad luck. You're up, doing great sometime. The next thing you know, someone's pulled out the rug from underneath you, and times are tough. People are getting laid off. People are losing jobs. People are getting cut back. People are having to do with less. And it's, oh, what's going to happen? Well, hopefully it doesn't last too long, but it will pass. The next season will come, and things will be better. When we learn those things, when we learn the seasons of our life, when we learn that a bad time is upon us and act accordingly, we'll see the good times again. And hopefully, we'll still rely on God during those good times. I don't know what your need is this morning or what your condition is, but once you come, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.